We've all heard of people who, we've heard the word fake it till you make it. And we know that fake it till you make it is, to a certain degree, that is an applicable way to walk by faith. Sometimes we start off in the flesh, and I remember Brother Hagin saying one time, you know, he wanted to dance in the Spirit. And he said, you know, I'm going to do that. And he stepped off the platform, and he said, I stepped off in the flesh, but he says, I hit the floor in the Spirit. So sometimes we have to step out in faith. But too often there are believers who attempt to fake it and as though they've already made it, and they haven't even really even begun in faith. Wow. They put on like they have great faith, that they're more spiritual than those around them, or that they have the red phone to God's desk. Sadly, this is always a result of pride, the attempt to make oneself look important, and it's actually hypocrisy. Wow. Now, Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, part of the definition of hypocrisy, it's from the Greek and it means an actor. From the Strong's Concordance, one of the definitions that it gives is an actor, a stage player, or a pretender. I want to share with you some things today from the Word that will help us to keep from falling into the trap of hypocrisy and instead to live a life that brings real results in faith. So let's go with our opening scripture today to James chapter 1, and I want to begin in verse 21. Your Bible was already there, wasn't it? Hallelujah. God is good. In verse 21 it says, wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I want to focus in on this today. Go with me just two pages to the left, over to Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 1. The title of my sermon today is called, You're Fooling Yourself and You Don't Believe It. It says, wherefore, seeing that we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Now, the first point I want to make is that beginning a walk of faith, the first thing is humility. And we see in James chapter 1, he says, lay apart all filthiness and excess of naughtiness. The word superfluity, actually the translation is the remnants of naughtiness. So laying that aside, the first thing we have to do is humble ourselves. We have to walk in humility concerning the things of God. And that also, when we read over here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher or the developer of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we understand that Jesus endured the cross for you and for me, and he endured it because of the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? It was us redeemed. But that joy drew him through the suffering. And the Bible says that he lightly esteemed the suffering. It says that, you know, that he endured the cross despising the shame. He lightly esteemed the shame. So he was drawn through the suffering, drawn through the difficulty by the joy that was set before him. And as we lay down sin and the weights that so easily beset us, sometimes it's not even a sin that's besetting us. It's just something that we got in our life that's slowing us down. It's causing us to just not be successful in our race. And God says here, and it's such a glorious thing. I mean, the Lord led me to this when I was quitting smoking, because I thought, you know what? I'm just going to have to just, through grit, just power through it. And, you know, and I'm going to just feel horrible, and I'm just going to have to continue in that until it feels normal. But it was just a few days into it after I had messed up and I was in repentance. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do this. I'm just so sorry. And the Lord spoke to me about faithfulness. And he talked to me about this verse, among some other things. I saw it. I saw that in order for me to be able to put that sin down, in order for me to be able to walk free of it, it's not going to be something, you know, just sheer gut driving me through it. It's going to be me receiving from him that joy that he's going to put something in front of me that's going to pull me through it. Amen. And he's so faithful to do that. When we have things in our lives that are just slowing us down, they're causing us to not be successful in the things of God, he can give you what it takes to pull you through it. Can you see that? Amen. So consider him that endured such contradictions of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. So we need to depend on God, and he's faithful to give you what you need. But it's going to be through his strength. Amen. And with this same attitude of humility, let's go ahead and look at Romans chapter 12. You remember our text. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says virtually the same thing in different words. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. We see in verse 1, we're looking at humility again. To present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service, or some translations say spiritual worship. But be not conformed to this world. Now, the word conform in the Strong's was it's a compound word in the Greek, and I didn't write it down because you probably don't care. But but it's a compound word, and it means to conform or to change according to what is striking the senses. And when you understand that, there's actually a theory in psychology called, by a man, last name is Erickson, called the looking glass self. And what that means is you will conform to the things that are around you. You will conform and you will change to mimic and to become a part of your environment. Well, what the Bible says here is the Bible identifies that people will do that. You will conform to the things around you. But he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Amen? So what that means is you are replacing an image, and you're replacing it with the Word. And you put the Word in, and you put the Word in, and you put the Word in, and it begins to replace the image in your heart, or that's coming into your eyes. And you remember what Nathaniel talked about the meditating on the Word. When you put the Word in, you remember over in Matthew chapter 16, when Peter received the revelation that Jesus was the Christ, Jesus said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter didn't receive that revelation through his senses. He received it because the light was changed inside. God brought light to his heart, and that was something that caused him to transform. Amen. And that's what God is calling us to do, is also to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And why? So that we can prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Do you want to be a prover of the will of God today? Amen. So be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. I remember back in 2002, and I have in my notes, I said to read the story of Jim, but I decided that that's not a story I want to read or to talk about. But the Lord reminded me as I was meditating on this back in 2002, my wife and I had an opportunity to buy a house. And the person who owned the house was a relative of mine, and they were in a dire situation, and they needed to get rid of this house. And they were selling it to us for just an incredible deal. And we were going to be able to do some work to it and flip the house and make some good money. And it was all that was apparent, but I didn't have peace in my heart about it. I just, you know, I prayed about it, and I wanted to help them and all these things, and I just didn't have peace in my heart about it. But I knew that I could make a lot of money. And so I went ahead and I made the decision to go ahead and buy the house. And sure enough, I flipped the house, and I made about, I don't know, about $15,000 on the house. Excellent deal. But what the Holy Ghost was telling me was that he knew something that I knew I didn't know, and that I should have listened to him because he knew it would have been better had I not done it. Because what ended up happening was I injured my back while I was working on this house. And my wife and I worked on the house for about 4 or 5 months, and I think we owned it for a total of 7 because it, you know, with all, anyway, by the time it sold, I had developed such a back problem that I could only take about 3 steps without my toes going to sleep on my right foot and my entire leg just hurting and hurting and hurting. And it got to the point where, I mean, I would walk like this. When I sat down, I would have to lean over to the left in order to decompress the spine on that side. And when I look back on it, it was something that the Lord was telling me, and he knows what's best, and he knows what we're going to be the happiest with. You know, even when it looks so good, we should listen to the Lord. Amen? Because I began to, you know, I get all, you know, the healing scriptures of Isaiah 53:5 and, you know, Matthew 8:17, 1 Peter 2:24, and I began to just confess those. And I got about 3 days into that, and I began to realize, you know, what I'm really doing is I'm trying to push God into doing something by my confessing. And that's not faith. Amen? And what the whole purpose of this is for us, I want you guys, I mean, the Lord has brought us here for a purpose, and this is not the end of what we're going to do. This is not the end. This is hard. This is training. But this is not the end. But one of the things that's going to matter so much is for you to be able to identify quickly when you're not where you need to be and change. Amen? And for me, I went about 3 days into this, and I began to, you know, I just said, you know what? I'm not in faith. I know I'm not in faith. But so many times in the past, we might, you know, start off on something like this, and just because we want to appear like we're in faith, we keep going on it. And what do? We create a substitute for faith. We create something actually born out of pride that's actually going to block real faith from coming. Amen? So I begin to apply, well, if I don't have faith, what do I need? I need faith. Well, how do you get faith? You get faith by the Word. Amen? By hearing and hearing and hearing the Word. So I went and got the best material I could find on healing, because that's what I needed. And for the next 10 months, that's all I listened to. I didn't listen to secular radio. I didn't spend a lot of time watching TV. But it was just, I had made a commitment. Now, it may not take you 10 months. It took me 10 months. And I listened to it, and I listened to it, and I listened to it. And every day, the Lord would give me a nugget. And that nugget would take me through the day, and I'd be able to just chew on it. You know what I mean? But I want to tell you that once I made the commitment to do that, he was faithful to bring faith out of the Word of God and bring faith in my heart. And I was starting to say things without having to think about it, things that were faithful. You know what I'm saying? And so I want us to above all, to just walk in humility. Be honest with yourself. You know what I mean? If you're not in faith, be quick to get in faith. And to just be straight about it. And don't put on a show like, you know, you're because, I mean, I've done this before. I know, I'm sure I'm not the only one, but I know about me, so I'll talk about me. I know that in past I have put on a show to appear to be more spiritual than I am. You know what I mean? And it's born out of pride, and it has blocked God from being able to move in my life. And so often, he wants us to go some places, but he's waiting on us to mature or to come into a level where we can go forward. You know, I remember one, actually it was Brother Keith Moore in a CD. He was talking about how, you know, so oftentimes you think you're waiting on God. He says, but everything God has told us to do, I realized when he told me that I just had come into having enough faith to do it. You know what I mean? And so for us to grow up and to be successful and to reach our full potential with God, we have to make sure that we're just doing it his way. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. So be honest with yourself. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Because we cannot receive what we don't think we need. And through arrogance, we don't want to block real faith from coming. Now, I wanted to share with you today something from God's Word that I believe that can help us. One of my greatest desires is for us to reach our full potential and to to live a life of faith that gets true results. We can only get there by laying aside the filthiness and the excess and by receiving with humility the engrafted Word which is able to save our souls, and by being doers of that Word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Because when we are not doers, what are we doing? We're deceiving ourselves. Begin to look at how you relate to the Word. Agree with me in this prayer. Father God, I make a decision today to yield myself to you, to lay aside the weights and the sin that has hindered my race. Father, only you can bring me to my full potential. I can't get there doing it my way. I know that it's your will that I make it. It's your will that I bring forth much fruit. Thank you for showing me where I need to tune and to tweak. And I commit to be quick to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.